Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. This is a great day for us. We come to what will be the final message in our study of this great book. I don't know if you have been counting at all, but this is our 55th message. As we have followed God's leading in our study of this great book. And I don't know about you, but for me, this journey has been exceptional. I pray for you. It has been life-changing as we have walked our way through these pages. I pray most of all that it has given you a fresh and deeper understanding of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we have learned from the very start, Jesus Christ is the grand theme of this entire book. Every word and every page points to His supremacy in all things. The primary focus has continually been for us, by the writer of Hebrews, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, on the supremacy of Jesus Christ over any other attempt to reach God through some other means. Jesus Christ is the only way. On every page we have experienced one continuing warning against allowing or following false teaching or false religions that promote access to God by some kind of human work, some kind of human effort, some kind of attaining to God on your own, disguised as acceptable righteousness. Every page, every place throughout the entire book has warned us not to follow that. So the writer of Hebrews has consistently and with passion exhorted us to follow Christ. This is, in fact, a warning against the damning lies of Satan and his constant concoction of systems, the spinning of false doctrines and religions that tempt mankind to doubt the validity of God's Word, to doubt what God has said, to put some kind of undermining to the truth of God Himself. Don't be tempted away from the simplicity of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. No matter how difficult the road of faith may seem to be at times, no matter the intellectual and humanistic obstacles that Satan throws in the path, no matter the constant battle against your own desires of the sinful flesh that wages war against your very soul and wants you to go in other directions to satisfy your own sin, no matter all of those things, fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of faith. Place your hope completely and solidly upon Jesus Christ. Because as the writer of Hebrews has continually said, it is by faith alone, through Christ alone, where we find salvation. And that has been the loud and clear message as we have walked through this letter and as we have heard and learned over the past several weeks. Walking by faith, or as we've called it, running the faith race, carries with it some practical outcomes for the lives of the believer. For those who know Jesus Christ, there are practical outworkings in your life that are to be carried out. And we saw those in the first 19 verses of chapter 13. We listed 11 of them, all of them being under the umbrella of love. And I find it very comforting and very interesting that Jesus Christ told His disciples who followed Him as He walked the face of this earth with them in John chapter 13, they will know that you are My disciples when you love one another. Love. the outward expression of the Christian in every area of life. Love. It's that four-letter word that the world thinks it understands but knows nothing of without Christ. Love, the umbrella quality that envelops all of these other practical outcomes that we are exhorted to do. We love one another as worship to God. Remember, we learned that at the end of chapter 12. It is our expression of worship to God as we love one another, for God is love. And if you don't love one another, therefore you do not love God. Why? Because we know experientially that our God is holy. Ironically, and unplanned by me or Russ, Russ's teaching started this morning, teaching about the holiness of God in Sunday school class, and God, by His design, has me here in this text. We understand how to worship God because experientially we know that God is holy. God is separate. He is unlike anything the world has. He is unstained by sin. His perfections are perfect. Everything He does and says and thinks and acts about and in Himself and His very nature and essence is holy. Verse 29 of chapter 12, our God is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. And so with that in our minds, this morning on a practical level, as I've been thinking about this, the question continually comes to my mind as the Christian and as one who is walking by faith. How is it that you and I, when you look at this list in chapter 13, how is it that you and I as Christians being exhorted to walk by faith, how can we actually do the things that are commanded here on a practical level? How do we walk by faith in these things? And the writer of Hebrews, by God's grace, gives us his answer. And we find it in verses 20 and 21. And so I want to just spend a little time this morning there as we finish up this great letter. He says in verse 20, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Isn't it great to know that the answer to the how question for you and I to accomplish these things is that the God of peace is equipping us to do them. The God of peace is equipping us to do them. You want to know something incredible about the Christian life? You don't have to produce the power to live your Christian life. All you have to do is live according to the power given by God through Christ. Look at what he says again. Verse 20. "Now the God of peace..." And you can jump right down to verse 21 because everything following the God of peace in verse 20 tells us who the God of peace is. It talks about His power. So verse 21, "Now the God of peace," verse 20, "equip you in every good thing to do His will." So it's the God of peace who equips us to do what God has commanded us to do. I hope you see that there. So our Christian growth, our Christian practice, our practical outworkings of all these things we were exhorted and commanded to do in the first 19 verses have nothing to do with our own inherent power. Don't you love that? This is so important for us to understand in our Christian life. You and I, in and of ourselves, by our own willpower or any other power that we may think we have, anything separate from God enabling us, if we try to do it that way, we will completely fail at living the Christian life. You cannot walk by faith without entrusting yourself to the power of God. So the how of you and I accomplishing what we were exhorted in the first 19 verses is God working in us. You see that, right? He equips you in every good thing to do His will. You realize how relieving and how comforting that is? What an incredible reality this is for you and I in our Christian lives. What a mind-blowing principle the Jew would have been hearing. This is where so many Christians go wrong in their practice of the Christian life. This is where Satan loves to work his lies in this practical area. False religions, listen, false religions have all kinds of rules that have to be kept. All kinds. Books and books and books, lists and lists. Judaism had innumerable rules that needed to be kept. And the reality is that you can have all of these little rules. You can create all the rules you want. You can write them down with meticulous record keeping and mark it off every time you do it. And you can say, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to keep them all. But you know what? It'll never happen. Never. Because in and of yourself, you don't have the power to do what God requires. In and of yourself, you cannot do what God commands. And even, just for the sake of argument, even if you had some ability, even if you had some inherent power in and of yourself to accomplish some, you would need to be perfect in order for God to be satisfied with your efforts. And since you fail even at the smallest ones, without Christ, you're a complete failure before a holy God. You see, that's the point that the writer of Hebrews has been trying to get across to the Jews all along. You can't do it on your own. You can't even accomplish these things that you're exhorted to do for you who believe in Christ. You can't even do those, even though you have faith, without faith. You can't do those without God equipping you. And so the unbeliever can never do it, and even the Christian can't do it on their own strength and in their own willpower. You look at the practical list of outcomes here in verses 1 through 19. You say to yourself, okay, all right. It says, I'm to love. I'm to love the brethren continually. So I'm going to love as I've never loved before. You look at the second one in verse 2. It's called, tells me, it exhorts me that I'm to be hospitable to strangers. I'm to love those I don't know so well. So I'm going to really reach out and love strangers. I'm going to muster up the energy and do it. God calls me to be empathetic. I'm not a very empathetic person, but I'm going to ramp it up in my life. Every aspect of my life, I'm going to ramp up my empathy. I really need to increase my Bible intake. I really want to do that so that I'm not taken captive by the alluring doctrines that are out there, the things that are really close to the truth, the things that Satan spins that look good but really aren't truth at all. I don't want to be drawn away from the truth, so I'm going to, by my own strength, I'm going to attend every Bible study. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to do everything I can in my own abilities. Take all of these and you say, I'm going to muster up myself. I'm going to grab myself up by my old bootstraps. And I'm going to do it. You know what happens? You take off. Come out of the starting gates really fast. Strong. And then shortly after you take off, you're like a plane without gas. You get off the runway. And then you crash. Crash. Nothing to sustain you. Nothing to continue. So the writer of Hebrews says here in verse 20, you need to rely on God's power, not yours. It's God who equips you. He didn't say you can accomplish all these things under your own strength, under your own mustering, under your own energies. He says it's God who equips you. It's not your own power. It's God's power. It's God's power who equips us to walk by faith. And notice the equipping all begins with God's peace. He says, now the God of peace. God's identified a lot of different ways in Scripture. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5, it says He is the God of patience. You saw that. He's the God of patience. Oh, I'm glad God's a God of patience, aren't you? Romans 15, verse 13 says He's the God of hope. God of hope. He's the God in whom we can have our hope. It's a real deal. It's not some fluttering kind of mystical, wishful thinking. He is the God of hope. He is the one we can hope on. He is solid ground. 1 Peter 5, 10 says He's the God of grace. The God of grace. The favor we do not deserve, God gives it because He is full of grace. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 says He's the God of comfort. God of patience, God of hope, God of grace, God of comfort. We love to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, He's the God of love. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 says He's the God of glory. Glory. But I think we are all overwhelmingly thankful that He is the God of peace. The God of peace. Why? We needed to be at peace with God. That's what we needed. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, while we were His enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. Guess who that's speaking about? While I was yet His enemy, Christ died for Terry. While I was His enemy, Christ died for Russ. It's us. All of us who know Christ, while we were His enemies, Christ died for us. While we were not at peace with God. And so the only way, the only reason God would ever begin to equip us to do any of His will is because God, through Christ, is at peace with us who believe. That's why the writer of Hebrews says He's the God of peace. This is the reason why God equips us, because we are at peace with God. For all men without Jesus Christ, God is at enmity with them. And so if we were reading this about an unbeliever, it would say, now the God of enmity, who will not equip you to do every good work, because without Him you could not ever do anything to please God. But it doesn't say that. It says, for the believer, now the God of peace equips you. It's not the God of enmity because of Christ. How so? Verse 1, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant. See, God is at peace with us because God, by His power, the resurrection power of God, brought our Savior out from among the dead. Not just up from the dead, but out from among the dead. Guess who we are without Christ? We are the dead. Christ was brought out from among the dead, for in Christ God the Father is satisfied. Therefore, Christ lives because the God of peace brought Him up from the dead. And so through Christ, through a relationship with God, through God the Son, the God of peace equips us to do His will. You see, you can't get to verse 21, folks, without first going through verse 20. And verse 20 says, the God of peace through God the Son. Do you notice that? God of peace, who brought up the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, who is who? God the Son. Jesus, our Lord. You cannot get to equipping without Christ the Lord. You cannot get to being equipped by God in a relationship with God without having a God of peace, because other than that, it's a God of enmity. So right here, just in one simple half of a sentence, the writer of Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in a concluding statement, demolishes every other religion that's ever out there. He demolishes atheism, he demolishes Catholicism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and every other kind of ism you want to think of. Because he says you cannot do His will without having a relationship with God. And to have a relationship with God, it comes through the great shepherd of the sheep who God raised from the dead by the eternal covenant, Jesus our Lord. So it's impossible just to wake up one morning and determine by your own will to be a spiritual person. It doesn't work. It's impossible. Why? Because sin will and sin does always get in the way. And even in our Christian life, sin wants to get in the way. But through Christ, through faith in Christ, the penalty of sin is gone. And we are at peace with the God of peace. And therefore, God equips us to walk by faith in Him. And walking by faith, you know what faith is, right? Entrusting ourselves to God in everything, every detail, in every moment of life. We entrust ourselves to God. So here, when it says, love your brethren continually, I entrust myself to God. I say, okay, God, I'm going to believe what You say. I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to reach out even when I'm vulnerable to that and love my brethren. Love the strangers. Okay, when I'm uncomfortable in doing that, I'm going to walk by faith in You. I'm going to trust You and reach out to strangers, even though it's uncomfortable for me. Even though my flesh says, don't do that. Even though it says, wait a minute, that's not what I want to do. I'm going to trust You and walk by faith. It's not my energy is doing that. It's me entrusting myself to the power, to God living in me, so that I'll do what He asked me to do. If I go by myself and I walk on myself and I say, well, I'm a Christian, okay, I'm going to love my brother, and I'm going to love until they are unlovable to me. And then I'm not going to do it anymore. You know why? Because I don't like that. My flesh doesn't want that. I'm not going to hold marriage in honor, especially when marriage is difficult and it's struggling. I'm not going to do that. It's not comfortable for me. And so I'm going to start to rationalize in my mind and say to myself things like, well, God just wants me happy. And since I'm unhappy, I might as well do something to change that so that I'm happy again, because that's what God wants. That's a lie of Satan, folks. The way you have happiness with God is to follow the will of God. And to do the will of God is to walk by faith. The only way to walk by faith is to be equipped by God in every good thing to do His. So we can follow His will, even in the toughest times. When we walk by faith. Now, I know what some of us are thinking, because this is where my mind has a tendency to go sometimes in my own flesh. We're thinking, man, does that mean I just get to sit back and wait till God equips me to do it? Like a thinking that says, hey, let's just let go and let God do it. Right? I don't need to do anything. I'll just wait for the magic to happen. We're not saying that. That's not what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's not saying wait for God's power to move you. It's confusing when we think like that, but that's not what he's saying. That's not what's being taught. By faith in Christ, God has equipped us to walk by faith. So now, he says, walk by faith. Trust God. As you walk. Trust God as you walk, even when it doesn't feel right. Understand that it's God's power that placed you in Christ. Understand that it's God's power that made peace between you and Him. And it's God's power that you walk by faith. That's why He gives these words in verse 21. He equips you in every good thing to do His will, working in us. What's He working in us? That which is pleasing to His sight. That which is pleasing in His sight. He's working in us as we're trusting Him and walking in these things, in these practical outcomes of our faith. We're walking in them. We're trusting God, and He's working in us and through us in that to accomplish His perfect will. So that what we do is pleasing in His sight. Let me remind us of what Jesus said in John chapter 15. Go there for a moment. John chapter 15. Jesus is about ready to go to the cross here. With His disciples in the upper room, giving Him some final instructions before He leaves this earth for a time. And He wants to remind them of this very, very important truth as followers of His. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, He says, I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He, God the Father, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. So God is in the business of ensuring that our life's fruit is increasing. God is in the business of taking you down the road, putting you in processes, using things in your life, circumstances by which He's pruning out of you those things that are not fruit-bearing and increasing in you fruit-bearing. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, you're already clean because the Word which I have spoken to you. Okay, it's the Word of God that has cleansed you. You heard the gospel, you believe by faith in Christ, you're clean, all right? Sin no longer rules you. Verse 4, so abide in Me. This is the pattern of continuing. Remain in Me. Stay close to Me. He's not saying save yourself. He's saying stay close to Me and I in you as the branch, why? Cannot bear fruit of itself. Listen, you can't separate yourself from the things of God as a Christian and assume that you're going to grow in Christ. It's impossible. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me say that again. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Remember, he's talking about spiritual fruit. Walking by faith kinds of things. Living to the glory of God. Walking according to the will of God. All these things, spiritual fruit he's talking about. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Spiritual fruit. So it is by faith that we are in Christ. Cannot get to be part of the body of Christ. You cannot be in Christ without faith. You cannot trust. You cannot be in Christ without trusting what God said about His Son and believing in it and confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart, all the things about Jesus Christ that you, by faith, entrust yourself to Him. That hasn't happened. You don't know Christ by faith. You may know Him intellectually, but you don't know Him by faith. So it's by faith that we are in Christ, and it is by faith that we can do the will of God. Same thing. By faith, we're in Christ, and by faith, we walk by faith. By faith, we do the will of God. So whatever it is we are asked to do by God, whatever it is in Christ, by faith, by the power of God, the writer of Hebrews says, we are equipped to do it. So you look at the list, verses 1 to 19. You have these 11 things that we have talked about. You say, how am I ever going to do that? How am I ever going to accomplish any of those things? How am I ever going to fulfill what God has commanded me to do? I mean, this isn't just, hey, I might be able to do some of these. Hey, these are suggestions for us as Christians. No, these are God saying, this is the practical outworking of your life as a Christian. How am I going to do that? You're going to do that by walking by faith. How do you walk by faith? Entrust yourself to God as you walk. Don't fight against it. So it's an unchangeable fact. If I say that, it's like saying the same thing twice. Unchangeable fact. Isn't a fact unchangeable? It's an unchangeable fact that the power of God to do what is pleasing to God will always be given through Christ alone. That's it. The power of God to do the will of God only comes through Christ alone. This is why all the false religions never work. They don't have a relationship with Christ. It's like trying to turn on the lamp without plugging into the electricity. It doesn't work. You can't get there. We have God's peace. We have God's eternal covenant promise. Verse 20 says, we have the risen shepherd who cares for our souls. The great shepherd of the sheep. And all of these are accomplished through the power of God. It's God's peace. It's God's power. He's a God of peace. He's a God of infinite and innumerable power. Enough for any of us to walk by faith. And it's because of these that we continue to pray. And we say, God, please continue to equip me and enable me for every good work. Give me the strength to trust you. It's like the disciples asked, we have faith. Increase our faith. Help us where we're weak. My flesh is fighting against that continually. Help me crush the flesh. Die to the things that want to own me and help me mortify those things and help me walk by entrusting myself to you, even in the most difficult times. Why? Because we want to do His will. He's equipped us in every good thing to do His will. So I want to do that. I want to do it because it's pleasing to Him, and it all comes through Jesus Christ. You see that? You can't get to God without going through Christ. You can't do His will without going through Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 21? The God of peace, who brought up the shepherd by the power, who is that? Jesus our Lord, equips you in every good work to do His will, to do what's pleasing in His sight. How? Through Jesus Christ. Can't get away from it. You can't escape it. Thereby, all of our efforts, all of our practice, all of our loving each other, all of our loving of strangers, all of our empathy, all of our holding marriage in honor, all of our lack of covetousness in our own hearts and desire to deny self of all of those kind of things that draw us away and make us have all these idols of the heart, all of these things about following the examples who've gone before us, all of this stuff about being saturated with the Word of God in and through us, all of this sacrifice to God by our own self in worship and being thankful about all these things and not neglecting one another. All of this stuff is only done through Christ so that Christ receives the glory forever and ever. It's not you. It's not us going around saying, man, look how spiritual I am. Pulled myself up by my bootstraps, walking around in my little cloistered people, and oh, how spiritual I am. You know, we're seeing that displayed at infinitum, and Satan loves it on the television today. A whole group of those kind of people over in Rome right now, locking themselves in a building thinking they can choose. Holding their own piety higher than anything. Christ is not even part of it. There's no glory for God in all that. So we trust God. We yield ourselves to Him. And in doing so, we obediently live for Him. It's the point the writer of Hebrews is trying to get across to these Jews. You can't do it any other way. It's all in and through Christ. He started out this entire book by saying, God spoke, how? In His Son. And Christ is mentioned either by name or in some other way well over 100 times through this entire book. And He ends the same way. It's all through Christ. Christ is supreme. God speaks through His Son. God equips through His Son. God saves through His Son. You cannot do anything to please God without Christ. Isn't that great? And then He says in verses 22 to 25, but I urge you, and I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Stop there for a moment. Bear this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. It's taken us almost 55 weeks to get through this. And in our Bibles, it's broken down to 13 chapters. But in reality, it's been brief. Did you find that amazing? I think that's so amazing. I have written to you briefly. You realize that Hebrews is just over 300 verses? That's it, 300 verses. It can be read straight through if you sit down and just read it in less than an hour. And so by our comparison, it is brief. It is brief. So He says, listen, hear it out. Hear it out. Hear it out. Bear with this word of exhortation. That just means hear it out. I urge you, brethren, hear this out. Hear it all. How easy it is for the flesh to just check out when God's speaking. How easy is it for us when we open the Word of God, we read something, our mind's flooded with all kinds of things that need to be done during the day, whatever else it is, and yet it's brief that God's speaking, and yet we turn it off so quickly. What he's saying, I want you to hear it out. We have to remember to discipline ourselves. Discipline ourselves to hear it, that we might be benefited most. And then he gives some ending comments just simply about Timothy and himself. Take notice of our brother Timothy. He's been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you too. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. This is why many may think Paul was the author of this letter, because it's from Italy. Paul being in Rome and is towards the end of his life, many think that, but it's much more evidence that would show that it's probably not Paul. But I love how he ends it. The final words, grace be with you all. In other words, may the continuing sovereign kindness of God be with you. Is there a more fitting way to end? Is there a more fitting way for the Holy Spirit to end it with us? Our salvation, our faith, our equipping, our walking by faith is all the outflow of an ever-gracious God. Grace. Grace be with you all. So it's all of faith alone. It's all by grace alone. It's all in Christ alone. It's all according to the Scriptures alone. And it's all for the glory of God alone. So let's hold fast the confession that we have firm to the end. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, this has been an incredible time for us. We are overwhelmed and really so grateful that we don't have to do this on our own. Realization and understanding that we cannot do it on our own, and that the only ones that you even equip to do your will are those who know you by faith in Christ, those with whom you have peace. No more war, no more judgment, no more awaiting of a day of destruction. But in Christ we have life. You have spoken to us in your Son. You have shown Him to be supreme above everything. Supreme above every religion that's ever spun in the world. Even those that may even claim your name but do not know you by faith, they are worshiping the wrong Jesus. Those who deny His deity, those who deny the fact of His sufficiency to satisfy the penalty of sin, those who continue to believe the damning lies that Christ is not sufficient for salvation. We know differently. We know differently because you have told us so. Because your word is always true. It is never failing. We are grateful that by your power, the same power that you raised Jesus from the dead is the same power you equip us to do what is right and honoring, and to walk by faith. And so we cannot get to you, we cannot have access to you without Christ, we cannot walk by faith without Christ, we cannot live and do anything without Christ. It's all of Christ. And so we give Christ all the glory. Eclipse us in the process. Help us to do what is honoring and pleasing to you by your strength as we yield our will to yours. Even in those moments when our flesh cries out and doesn't want to do it, strengthen us to walk by faith. Help us to do it rightly for your sake, for your glory, for your honor. We thank you for this precious book. We thank you for taking us through it and helping us understand Christ. Allow these things to penetrate deep within our hearts, not become some principle that we leave on the shelf or some academic story for bedtime. Help these things to be real and implanted within our soul that we would do them. So that you might receive indeed all the glory. That others might know Christ. That we would walk one day in your presence together, worshiping you for eternity. Thank you for these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.